Okay, good morning. Hello. It is Friday, November 2nd, and this is Trina Gray dialing in from Bay Athletic Club in Alpena, Michigan for our November Fast Track call. Yes, it kind of sounds like I got a frog in my throat. Maybe I do. I don't know. I should look. But I'm drinking some hot tea, and I feel fine, just have a scratchy throat today. So I've got great content. I will try to make that energy come out through this voice that I've got for you. I do, lucky you, drum roll, have a special guest with me in my office today. So after I get through my first beginning part of the content, I'm going to interview my membership director, Amy Schultz, who is one of our number one CFC coaches here at Bay Athletic Club. She has been in the trenches coaching in the CFC for 2 years. She's coached hundreds of people. She just finished up a really, really all-star team with a local credit union. So just to bring some life and fun and variety to the call, I invited Amy to be with me today so I can interview her on the, kind of the anatomy of the CFC, and we're going to do a breakdown of four people that she's worked with recently, just in the past week, and how different they are and how they're all in the same program. So lots of great stuff coming at you today. Get out your pen and paper and get ready to roll. You know, if you've been on these calls before, I fly through a lot of content in a fairly short amount of time, but we do record these calls. You can always go back and listen again later. So on the call, we always have people who are on live. We've got lots of people who listen to the recording later. What I want you to know is whether you're brand new to the CFC, meaning maybe I just met you out in San Diego a couple of weeks ago and you're just getting your feet wet with it, or maybe you're a veteran, you're somebody like at the Maryland Athletic Club or Angie Amador or someone who's been rocking this forever, Libby Burkhalter, there's always something to learn. I am learning something new about the CFC truly on a weekly basis, and some of what I'm going to share with you today are some of the lessons and some of our takeaways. What are we doing here at the CFC headquarters to make things different and fresh and fun, what's working and what's not. So with that, the theme of the call today is how to be a, quote, perfect CFC coach. You know, what is the job description of a perfect CFC coach? And I'm going to tell you how it is I'm learning that 4 years into doing this, and then we're going to break down the recent anatomy of a CFC that we did. So how am I figuring out what participants really want in a coach? Pause. Well, the way you find out is to simply ask, right? But we ask in a lot of different ways. We've been traditionally asking our CFC participants for their feedback in written surveys. So we survey monkey them after the fact. We actually even hand out surveys at the finale. But those kind of surveys are like, rate us on a scale of 1 to 5. How did you like your experience? Those surveys are in your kit, so you can see them and look at them and use them yourself. But we get, you know, like, did you attend the workouts, yes or no? Did you use the food plan, yes or no? So we get a lot of just kind of baseline, I'd call it, content, but we don't always get the nitty-gritty of what we need to really sharpen our skills and be world-class. So what I did recently, a week ago Sunday, is I hosted a CFC roundtable. Basically, I invited 28 current CFCers to dinner. And it was worth every dime of that dinner, and it was worth every minute of my time. So for those of you who've been doing this for a while, this is your game-changing move that you were looking for today. You need to do a focus group roundtable with your participants. I loved it. I feel like we just rocked the house. They finished their workout on Sunday night. We do our group workouts on Sundays from 5 to 6. It's 6 o'clock on the dot. They were in their chairs with water and wraps and a great fruit salad and wonderful dinner. And I did a quick round table with everybody. It took me exactly 1 hour, and I got pages, 6 front-to-back pages of content from that. So here are some of the things that I learned at that round table. I learned that the majority of our CFC people at this point in the business, the majority of people are connected to us, meaning that it's not just a feeder system of bringing new people into our business anymore. So those of you who have been doing this for a while, start to look at this as a really solid retention tool and not just a feeder system. That we have a lot of members or clients, boot campers, personal training clients, whatever, however you term them in your business. We have a lot of people who already use our services, who we are keeping engaged, who we are holding on to longer because we get them involved in this program. So it's not just a way to introduce people to your business. It's a way to keep your current members, clients, participants happy, engaged, and getting results. In fact, when I looked around the room at the 28 people who were there, I can tell you it was a small handful who had not participated in my business at some level in the past. People had come on a one-month membership, they'd done a boot camp, they maybe had a current membership, they've come to a class, they've done a training session. I was amazed at how many people had, quote, done business with us in the past, but this is what's going to make them stay with us. I hope you heard that. This is what's going to make them stay with us. This was that game-changing move that they needed in their health and fitness. So that's one thing I learned. I also learned just simply that people really like the group workouts, and if you're able to offer those in your CFC, man, our people want them more often. We right now just offer one per week on Sunday nights. That's what we've always done for 3 years or more, and so many people are asking for more than that, that they wanted to have a reason in their schedule to have to see us, to have to see their coworkers outside of work, and to get in a great workout. So I know that I'm talking to people in all different levels here. I'm talking to those of you who own facilities. I'm talking to people who run boot camps. I'm talking to people who are independent trainers. It's cool. We can all take the same piece of advice, right? It doesn't matter where you do this group workout. If you are at a church in the gym or at a school gym or at the beach or at the park or in your facility, the idea is that it seemed that people would like to get together more than once per week. Another thing that I learned at the roundtable that surprised me was how many people said that they initially joined the challenge because they were looking for help with fitness. I know that you think that's quite, boom, very obvious, but I didn't. I thought that people would be looking for help with nutrition. So when I asked them between the two, only 11 out of the 28 people said that they were looking for nutritional help. Now, we all know, right, that they need the nutritional help, and of course, that's a huge component of the program, but I don't necessarily know that that's what gets people to sign up, that a lot of these people felt like they needed a jump start with their fitness and that they needed a place to start, and so they saw the corporate fit challenge, obviously, as their guidance for fitness, and we squeeze in the nutrition help, but I don't think that leading with nutrition is necessarily the way to go, because I can tell you only 11 people said that that's what they were looking for. Then I want to share with you, I asked them to rank the qualities of a coach. 28 people in the room, you got to imagine how we made this happen. I initially just collected a list of what they liked about their coach, and then we went through and ranked them in order of importance to them. So this was super interesting to me. The number one agreed upon, 100% agreed upon quality of a CFC coach was compassionate. So now all of a sudden you got to do like a little gut check. Go find a mirror to look in. Do you find yourself to be compassionate? Are the coaches and trainers who you might have helping with you, if you've decided to have people help you, are they compassionate? If they are not, they are lacking the number one skill of a CFC coach. And this is something you're going to want to work on. And it is definitely coachable. Not the easiest thing to coach somebody on. It's like trying to coach somebody to be friendly, right? But I've got trainers on my team who aren't by nature the most compassionate, friendly people. I've got two people in my head right now that I don't think it comes naturally to them to just be friendly and compassionate. But it's teachable. If they know that that's what's important, they can tune in to somebody else if they need to. They can shut out the outside world and focus on the person in front of them if they need to. All right, so much more to say on this, but there's so much content to get through that I got to keep flying. The number two skill of a CFC coach was to be a good listener, compassionate and good listener. I almost feel like we're talking about being like a social worker at this point, but we're not trying to solve the world's problems. We're just trying to be compassionate and be a good listener. On that note, let me tell you, I interjected here and said, why was the conversation that you had with your CFC coach different than conversations you've had in the past about your health and fitness with your doctor? And that was like a firestorm. I told my team afterward. One second. Tea break. I told my team afterward that one question set off like fireworks in the room, and I could not believe how passionate people were about talking about the difference between the CFC and the medical profession. medical professionals. And it's certainly no slam on people with a ton of education and, you know, they can do things different for people than we can, right? They're very good at acute care. But I think that as fitness professionals, we are very good at prevention, and that's where we need to focus our efforts and our skill set. That they went off the chain about, my doctor doesn't listen to me, he just talks at me, my doctor isn't even healthy himself, she just gives me a handout, she tells me that I need to lose weight but doesn't tell me how, they want me to pop a pill, they'll write me a prescription, I don't ever feel listened to, I feel embarrassed, I don't want to get on the scale, and then I feel shamed. It was, you know, kind of like if you got to let your kids unleash on, you know, why they hate math class, right? And nothing's relevant. I'm never going to need to know this stuff, blah, blah, blah. It was like that. I mean, these adults went off about what they felt like when they go to their doctor. I got to tell you, there was two nurse practitioners in the room. They agreed. They were in on the conversation, saying that people generally feel rushed. They feel not listened to. They feel like it's not personalized to them, that they're just, you know, given like a Band-Aid approach to fixing their problems. So that was a great way for me to make them feel even more connected to the CFC, because I was like, okay, well, why is your coach different? I just decided to say, why is your coach different? And they're like, oh, our coach is compassionate. Our coach was a good listener. Our coach was enthusiastic. We don't normally think about, you know, healthcare professionals being enthusiastic, right? These are the other things I said. Our coach was a powerful pusher, a powerful pusher. I really liked that, and we talked about that a while. Like, well, what does that really mean? And I said, you know, a motivator, but not just a cheerleader. A motivator who's going to hold you to the rules that you have decided on for yourself. Does that make sense? Think about that. They're a motivator, but they're holding you to a set of rules that you've decided on for yourself. I'm going to drink water. I'm going to cut pop. I'm going to work out 4 days a week. These are things that participants are deciding on for themselves, and your coach is that powerful pusher that holds you to it. When you see your healthcare practitioner and you say, and they say, hey, you need to lose 20 pounds if you have any hopes of getting off that blood pressure medication, you should lay off alcohol and exercise more. Well, once you walk out of the office, you're on your own for the next year, right? At least 6 months to a year. This is different. This is someone who's helping you make the rules and then holding you to them. They also said that they felt like their important part of being a coach was to be inspirational. Inspirational. So now we're in more of the, you know, think about people in your life who have been inspirational. I sometimes think of teachers or coaches who I've had, who I feel like I've learned from and want to emulate. Think of people in your life who are inspirational to you. Maybe it's a spiritual leader. Maybe it's a parent. Who's inspiring to you? And what kind of qualities do they, you know, what do they bring out in you? And then one, two, three, four, five. Number six on the list, I have to say I was surprised, but it's taught me a lot here. Number six on the list of ranked qualities of a CFC coach was knowledgeable. Now think about this. I would say the number one thing that we want in a doctor or healthcare practitioner of any kind is to be knowledgeable, right? I want to go and know that they know what the heck they're talking about, right? Well, why is it so interesting to me that that was the number six quality of a coach? I find that interesting, and I ask them, well, why is that number six on the list? Don't you want to know that the coaches and trainers know what they're doing? And their response was, oh, no. We assume that if they're a coach on your team, we assume that if they work in your business, we assume that if this is someone that you've brought to the table, that they already are knowledgeable. We're taking that at face value, that the people we're working with know what they're doing with fitness, have a basic understanding of nutrition in order to guide us. And more than that, they're going to listen to us and personalize the program to us. So what I want you to know about that is that you don't need to lead with your credentials. And if you are, stop. Lead with your heart and just make it assume that all the letters CPT, AFA, blah, 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 after your name, they don't really mean much to them. They assume that you know what you're doing. We hope that you do know what you're doing. We hope that you do stay up on your continuing education, obviously. Right. This is certainly not to say, you know, forget your certifications and, you know, just make stuff up. I'm saying use your certifications to feel confident yourself in your abilities, but don't share your certifications and all that you know with them. They don't, you know, we've heard this 1,000 times, but people don't care about how much you know until they know about how much you care. So six on the list is knowledgeable. So even though you might know every piece of equipment and every way to work your core inside out, upside down, they want to know that you care about their life. Okay? And number 7 was to be a good communicator. And number 8 was to be friendly. So, wow, there is a job description of a CFC coach. What does it mean to be a good communicator? Let me go into this a little bit, because they didn't really care so much about perfect emails. They really cared about their conversations. They cared that the emails were personalized, but they didn't have to be so educational. And I encourage my coaches to back off of the teaching in their emails and to get more into, hey, Dave, how did it go being at the hockey game on Friday night? Did you stay away from the nachos? Hey, Joe, I heard that you're going out to hunting camp. Hello, I'm in northern Michigan. Sorry for those of you who have no idea what I'm talking about. I'm going out to hunting camp this weekend. Did you stay off the beer, right? Like, whatever's relevant to you. Oh, my gosh, that makes me sound so local. Okay, so you know what I mean. Make it sound specific to them. So with that, we have talked about the fact that I did a roundtable with my participants. I would highly urge you to do that. I didn't wait until the end. This was people who were, you know, 2 weeks into it, people who were 3 weeks into it, 4 weeks into it. I merged them all together into one dinner. I also did a CFC roundtable with my coaches. I'm going to share that content for our next call. So I will share with you next month what the coaches said about the CFC and where I thought we had gaps in our coaching and where we're very much on the same page. So I will say that for next month. And we talked about why coaching is different from meeting with their medical professional. And we talked about the key qualities of a coach. Right now, if you hung up the phone right now, you'd be a better CFC coach. Your program would be closer to world class. And then I shared with you some of my takeaways of what we learned. The other last piece I should mention that I learned as well is that at your finales, we need to do ours differently. We had been, initially when we started the program, thinking that at the finales it should be a food celebration as well, meaning that a lot of these people have laid off of or backed off of, you know, pizza or cake or sweets or alcohol, and they've been eating really clean for 6 weeks, we hope. And we felt like at the end it would be kind of fun, kind of tongue-in-cheek fun, to have more of a pizza party with them and say, hey, you know, you can merge these things back into your life in moderation. Congrats for you for cutting it. And what we found is that makes people very uncomfortable, that we have moved into having more healthy appetizers, you know, just coffee, tea, water, not doing the cake anymore. So, you know, in my kit you'll see that, you know, I advise both ways, that you can make it more of a pizza party, kind of a birthday party feel, like celebrating. And some groups that works with, and some groups I think that makes them feel uncomfortable, that they think that you're watching them to see if they're really going to eat that. So I would suggest more wraps, healthy wraps, salads, things like that for your finale, just appetizers even. Okay, so the last piece that I learned, and then we're going to start interviewing my membership director. The last piece that I learned was the number one reason why people actually put their name on the dotted line of the form. Why did they actually sign up? All right, so maybe they saw a flyer. Maybe they read an email. Maybe they heard a presentation. Maybe someone from work truly twisted their arm to do it. There's many reasons that brought them to the point of decision-making. But what was the one reason why they put their name on the dotted line? And wholeheartedly, what I learned from this group is that everyone was at a point of escaping some kind of pain. Now, pain is at all different levels, right? I don't necessarily mean that so, you know, dramatically. But I mean that everyone was at a point of pain that they wanted help with. Things like a woman said she just had a physical and she had high cholesterol. Somebody was recovering from an injury. Someone else's pain point, this was one of the nurse practitioners, someone else's pain point was that they were lazy and so frustrated with being lazy. Somebody else had a membership that they weren't using at the club, and that was their pain point, that they were spending money on something they weren't using. Somebody else needed to lose weight because they were in chronic pain with their knees. Somebody else said that they were tired, low energy, and crabby. You get the picture, right? People put their name on the dotted line because they're escaping from a place of pain and they believe that this is going to be the promised land. This is going to be what makes their life better. So you have better be setting that up in your presentations, in your emails, in your communications, that you're helping people escape from a point of pain, whatever that might be for them, boredom, fatigue, laziness, injury, physical ailment, cholesterol, overweight, unhappy. And the list goes on and on, unfortunately, but we make it better. So we are going to start with, I'm going to go to Amy, and she's our membership director here. She sees members all day long, and she also coaches in the challenge. And we're going to just do a breakdown of four of the people who she worked with. So you'll hear a little difference in the sound quality right now. I'm going to go off my speaker set into speakerphone, but we will vocalize and talk loudly for you. Okay. I know you're still there, so we're going to go to Amy. Amy, you just finished a corporate fit challenge with a credit union, Alpena Alcona Area Credit Union. And this was a really unique one in that people joined not just because they were employees, but they were somehow connected to the employees. So first of all, I just want to ask you to tell me, who was our inside contact there, and how could you describe her to us?
Well, Karen was our inside contact. I had the pleasure of coaching her. Karen was a huge motivator in getting people to sign up for the corporate challenge. She went even outside her coworkers, although she got several of her coworkers to sign on. She also asked her husband to do it, and then they also branched out to friends. So we had coworkers, families, and friends all involved in this team.
Cool. And so I would describe Karen LaFlash as a raving fan. So Karen LaFlash is the raving fan of our business. She has had quite a journey with us. Amy, can you remember a little bit about when she started, how long she's been with us, just to give people the idea that you need this raving fan inside contact person?
Absolutely. So Karen's been with us for almost 2 years. She has done other programs of ours, our Center Winner Contest. That's how she originally got started. And ever since then, she's taken advantage of a lot of our group fitness classes, and she has definitely been spreading the word about BAC and what we do here. So for her, this next step of getting involved in a corporate challenge was just the right point for her.
Excellent. So those of you on the line or listening later who are making a list of all the businesses in their area and who you want to hit up and who you want to drop off gift bags to, I get that, and I like that approach, you know, in terms of meeting new people. But I can't say it more clearly that you've got CFCs within your current membership base, your current client base. This CFC with this credit union never, capital N-E-V-E-R, never would have happened without Karen. We would have had no one there pounding the pavement for us. So let's go into the details of some of these people in the CFC. I want to start in with Ryan Woodruff because he is someone who was definitely escaping pain. Can you describe Ryan to the people on the phone and what kind of his life was like day one of the challenge?
Absolutely. So Ryan came in day one. I had never been in our facility before. Karen had recruited him and her husband, Tim. Ryan works. He owns his own construction company, so very stressful. He cannot go home at night and shut it off. When I asked him about his sleep habits, he was sleeping about 5 hours a night, but interrupted sleep. His only form of stress relief at this point in his life was to have 3 to 4 mixed drinks a night. He would go all day long without eating, and then his dinner at about 9 o'clock at night would be about 3,000 calories.
Good. So, Ryan, you described to me before the call that he was a walking what?
He's a walking heart attack. A lot of pain in his knees, his back, and really overweight.
Right. Young guy, drank a lot, stress, overweight. Ryan Woodruff would have never step foot into our facility. Those of you who don't own facilities, don't stress out about this. He never would have stepped foot into your business. He never would have signed up for your boot camp. He never would have signed up for small group training. He never would have stepped in a group X class. He never would have hired a personal trainer. So, Amy, why specifically do you think Ryan signed up for this?
Because Karen and Tim personally reached out and asked him to do it.
Perfect. So people need that personal ask. Now, if I, the owner of the club, or Amy, the membership director or trainer at the club, had asked him, I don't think Ryan would have done it. You need to find your raving fans and have them invite people who are the least likely suspects. I hope you write that down. Tell them to go find the most least likely suspects, because those are the people who are going to change your business because you're changing their life. So, Amy, when you sat down with Ryan, I'm curious, was he really resistant to change, or was he open to change, and how did you get through that?
Ryan was very hard to read at the beginning, which made me think he was going to be extremely resistant to change. But because he had Karen and Tim on his side already, and once I sat down with him and we just talked about exactly what was going on currently in his life, and he knew that he needed something to change. He knew he was a walking heart attack. He's a smart guy, and he realized that. So I would have said he was resistant to change, but as soon as he got comfortable with knowing what he should do, he was willing to follow it.
So how did you make him comfortable? How did you make him comfortable?
I just asked him questions about him. And I have learned one thing through coaching. If all else fails, people will talk about themselves. So you just have to ask.
That's perfect. So I hope you guys hear that and write that down, that as we know, we're not talking at people in this program. You are really just trying to ask questions, as many as you can, to get them talking to you, and you'll help them find their own answers. So, Amy, for Ryan's fitness program, we don't talk about the fitness program all that much on these calls because I've got brilliant trainers on the line anyway. But what do you do with someone like Ryan who's got to work out on his own 4 days a week and he's got some limitations and not a ton of experience with fitness? What did you have him do?
It was simple, just that. I had to keep it simple for Ryan so he would feel comfortable right away. He'd had some experience. He had a exercise bike in his home, which he never really used, but at least I knew he's comfortable on some kind of cardio machine. So I opted to give him something new, the elliptical, and he felt comfortable doing that. I gave him 4 strength machines. That was it, so that he felt comfortable to start and successful. And then he got on and was willing to push himself on the elliptical.
So for those of you on the line who are cringing right now, because I can see you on the other end, you're like, oh, elliptical, machines, that's so 1990, your club called and they want their machines back. Well, listen, if you're at a club, you need to take advantage of the fact that you can keep people in a very simple program that can still be effective and make them feel successful. Not everyone can start on a TRX. Not everyone can start swinging kettlebells. Not everyone can do that because they're working out in this program on their own, right? So those of you who don't have a gym and don't have equipment, cool. Simple, simple, simple plan would still be, can you jump rope? Can you go for a jog? Can you do a bodyweight plank, a push-up, a squat, a lunge, a row, right? Simple, simple moves to get people started. The one piece of feedback I got from participants in that roundtable was that one of the coaches was making their programs too complicated, that she had them on a TRX, which we love, the TRX, they're all over our facility, but if you've got to keep it really basic for people if they're going to be working out on their own. So Ryan didn't need to be doing cartwheels to get active. He just needed to do something. So Amy kept it really simple. All right. Amy, in the end, oh, we're so curious, fast forward to the end of the program. How did Ryan do?
Ryan did fantastic. By the end of the finale, he had learned to eat 3 meals a day. And most importantly, his knee pain was gone, his back pain was gone, and he lost 17.6 pounds.
Shut up. 17.6 pounds, people. Take that to the bank.
And he signed up for his membership yesterday.
And he signed up for membership. And I believe he did something else.
He signed up for another program. The next program that he's starting is Monday, and it's the Beast program.
So we are doing a weightlifting program here at BAC called the Body Beast. You should email me about that or ask me about that if you're curious. It's amazing. Ryan went from being a walking heart attack, drinking, not exercising 6 weeks ago, to losing 17 pounds, joining my facility. So again, if you don't have a facility, that means joining you as a client, staying on your boot camp, staying on as a client, and then he signed up for another program that's a $100 program. So membership and a program from Ryan, who thought we were completely irrelevant in his life 2 months ago. All right, that's a great CFD story. Next one, let's just talk quickly about Karen LaFlesh. Again, she was our inside contact, the raving fan of our business. What did you need to do with Karen to get her results?
Well, with Karen, she was already active with fitness and an avid Weight Watcher point watcher. So she thought she had her nutrition down pat. I'd actually been checking her journal for quite a while, weekly for her. So when she came into this challenge, I'd already gotten a chance to build that trust with her. She literally said, I will listen to what you say. So we really dissected her nutrition, and through asking her a lot of questions, we actually found out that although she was limiting her dairy to like low-fat dairy, she still felt bloated every single day. So we cut out the dairy. She decided, yep, let me try that. She cut her yogurt and her dairy, and she had huge success. 3 days after she cut her dairy, she said, my belly has never felt so flat. Why didn't I think of this before?
That's awesome. So as trainers, as we all know, we're not like, you know, prescribing nutritional advice to people, but we're certainly asking questions and helping them come to their own conclusions. So Karen needed to sit down with someone and say, hey, in a year, I haven't lost 5 pounds, right? And she's a
faithful Weight Watchers, love those points, person and exercises. So Amy, you know, helped her realize that what it was that she needed to do. And Amy, what were her results?
She lost 9.8 pounds in the 6 weeks. Already very active.
Very, and I mean very active, people. She does some really high intense classes here at the club and some really intense workouts on her own. 9.8 pounds by changing her nutrition. Boom. Let's talk about her husband, Tim LaFleche. Tim has a very different journey than Karen. Again, on this same team in the corporate challenge, what did Tim need to do?
Tim, talk about nutrition. Tim was a man who ate five things. And I mean that. Five things every single day for years and years and years. Now, let me tell you, Tim came to the challenge, already had lost nearly 100 pounds, okay, but eating these five things, and he was stuck. So we looked at trying to incorporate new things into Tim's diet. One of the things he would eat every day was 2 Fiber One bars every single day. So we talked about why not try some natural fiber and try eating some fruits and veggies, which he'd never done before. He committed to that. He was really great, and he made his nutritional goal was to eat a fruit or veggie with every single meal and snack, and he did that, and he saw great results, and his body feels better in his whole system better than it ever has.
That's amazing. And Amy, for his fitness, I love that you said, let's give you some natural fiber and try some fruit, because it's not always fiber in a wrapper, people, right? We all know that. So Tim also did something different with his fitness. What did you have Tim do?
Well, he actually did simultaneous programs. He went ahead and did Beast while he was doing the corporate challenge, so the Beast, the building the muscle mass, which was huge for Tim because, like I said, he'd already lost almost 100 pounds, and he had a lot of work to do on, he wanted to get tight and fit and strong that way.
That's great. So everybody needs something different in this program. Obviously, Ryan Woodruff 6 weeks ago wasn't ready for a intense strength training program. The guy just needed to start moving. Karen needed to crack down on her nutrition, and Tim needed to add variety to his nutrition and add some strength training. So last one is Denise Chapman. Denise is an interesting one also on this team. What was her relation to the team, and what did she need?
She is an employee of the credit union that did it, so she was a coworker to Karen. Denise has done 2 other corporate challenges, and I've actually been able to coach her for those. So I knew about her history. In her first 2 challenges, her biggest challenge was just to take care of herself. She's got 4 children, and she had to decide, is she going to fight the big fight or work on herself right now? So she had been until this challenge. And now she decided...
Let me clarify that for Amy. So to fight the big fight, we mean, for those of you that don't have 4 kids in your household, because I don't, should she just change her nutrition, or should she fight the big fight of changing her household? In the past, too, I'm hearing Amy say that she decided to just change her own nutrition and try to kind of operate in her own bubble.
Exactly. And this time, she decided to step up to this new challenge and start changing over her household. So before, when Denise would go to the grocery store, her whole front basket was filled with Little Debbies, and so they were in her house, and she just decided during this challenge she was going to cut that out and change over the nutrition of the whole family, because after the previous 2 challenges, she would always slip back into the old habits because the food, the bad food was there. So she decided to clean it all up this time. She did. She was really successful. She lost 6.1% of her body weight in this challenge.
Jeez. That's amazing. 6.1% of her body weight in this challenge by cleaning up her family's diet. So listen to this. If you've got a piece of paper and you can write this down, Karen, write down Karen's name. She was our inside contact, raving fan, needed to crack down on her eating. Connected to Karen was Denise, her coworker, needed to change her family unit. Then connected to Karen was Tim, her husband. He needed to diversify his diet and try strength training. And then connected to that is Ryan, a friend of Tim's. So it's kind of like a third degree of separation from Karen. And he got involved because his life needed it. You know, it was either like a do-it-or-die kind of point at this point in Ryan's life. So all these people in the same program, it's not just worksite wellness. It takes place in a workplace because that's where people are already connected. But you must expand the You must expand your reach into people's friends and family units for it to really be successful. And I say that because I speak to some of you on the phone on your coaching calls, and you're working with like a bank and you've got all the employees but none of their friends and family. And I worry about those. I worry right now that we have one going with an accounting firm here, and none of the spouses are involved. I went and did the kickoff, and it's all employees and no spouses. So I know, I just truly feel like it's going to be harder for the coaches to really, really get real change in these people's lives if their friends and family are not involved. So, Amy, any other final takeaways that you'd want to share just as your experience as a coach? Anything else that you love about coaching? Anything that you would want them to know as a newer coach?
Well, really, I think I have a huge passion for the program, and it comes down to what you learned at the roundtable. Being compassionate and being a good listener makes you the best possible CFC coach. Ultimately, I think we all find satisfaction in our purpose in helping people to be happier and healthier. And you can do that by being compassionate and listening.
That's awesome. Amy, would you say that in your years here of doing this, that some of our best success stories have come from this program?
Absolutely, without a doubt.
Right. So you guys, to be a really amazing coach, Amy said you need to be compassionate. I said that earlier. That's a great reiteration. You also need to be a believer. So let me finish my part of the program with this. You need to be a believer. I can tell you that when I did my coach roundtable, which we'll talk about next time, that the one coach there who was really shining bright that day was a woman who 100% to her core believes in this program, believes that in 6 weeks with a little red journal, a coach, a team, and a simple workout program, you can change somebody's life. She had me convinced so much in the program I wanted to go buy it from her, and then I realized I already have it. So with that, I'm going to open up the lines to questions, and I'm going to open up the lines to questions if you have them. And if you need to hang up, that's fine. It's up to you. Or you can stay on the line. I'm going to go back to office speakerphone. Great content, Amy. Thank you so much for joining us today. And let's open up the lines to some people who are on. Let's go to area code 805. Area code 805. You are unmuted. Who do I have?
Hi, it's Debbie with Thrive Wellness.
Hi.
Hi. We're just kind of halfway through our first challenge. We're doing our three-week coaching call, so this call was kind of perfect timing for that.
Yay!
With my guys today, so, you know, that was helpful. I guess, but I didn't have a chance to prep my thought.
No problem.
Probably one of the things I'd like to ask about, we have a group of realtors that we're going to present to, our first presentation, and their team leader is already 100% on board. She's booked them for January 7th. She had a surgery, and she wants to take part, so she can't exercise until after the holidays. So she wants me to come into their big team meeting on the 14th, and I'm only going to have 5 to 6 minutes. So it's going to be kind of fast and furious. I'm going to have to just jump in there, motivate like crazy, and kind of be out. I'll be able to answer questions after their meeting. I can linger. But so I guess from all the things I've heard, the key points I should hit on are just how you're going to change your life. And, you know, what would you say in 5 minutes is the number one things I should hit on?
Yeah, so let me clarify two things, Debbie. One, you're doing the presentation on November 14th.
Right.
And they're starting in January?
Yeah, they booked January 7th. So she wants to have that time. I think there's only certain meetings where they have everybody there that is kind of like a mandatory meeting. So I think that's why she chose this date. And she's going to be personally, she's a major fitness buff, and she wants to pass it on to her team. So she's going to be personally kind of pushing it during that time. I agree, it's kind of a long time between when you get people motivated and when you're actually signing on. So
it's a really long time. I mean, I usually look at 2 weeks from when you do a presentation to when you want to start. So it's going to be a little bit different for you. Number one, it is helpful that she is big into fitness and wants her team to be big into fitness, but that also, remember, can work against you, and that they feel like she's already telling them what to do all day long. They don't care that she's fit. You know, she's got more money than they do. She's got more resources. She's got more time than they do. They have all these reasons in their head why she's fit, right?
Right.
So I would downplay that. And not really give her too many props in front of them. She doesn't need that anyway. So I would try to stay away from, hey, she's setting a great example. You should follow her.
Right.
Stay away from that. Instead, I would, if I have 5 or 6 minutes, listen, this might sound strange. I don't know if you've heard me say this one before, but
can I ask you, Debbie, do you have children?
Yes.
Okay. So this is what I've said before, and I've only had 5 minutes, and it might not feel right to you, but it's worked for me in the past, I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
I've gone in and said, listen, if I only had, and I'll say I have two kids, and they're 7 and 9 years old, and if someone told me that I only had 5 minutes to tell my kids why they should stay away from drugs, I would be really, really passionate about it. I would make sure they heard every word of it, and I would do my best to make sure that what I said in those 5 minutes was so powerful that they will stay away from drugs. What I need you to know is that I'm here with that same sense of purpose and urgency for you. If I only have 5 minutes, five minutes to tell you why fitness and nutrition and taking care of yourself can change your life, I'm going to be very spot on with it. I need you to know that life is better. I need you to know that fitness and nutrition and reducing your stress and improving your sleep makes you a better person. You will have a happier, longer, better life, more fruitful relationships, more quality work. You will rise every morning with more joy than you can imagine. And I'm not talking about a Pollyanna kind of movie. I mean you and your real life. And I mean that when you start this in January, and I know you're going to because you deserve it, that when we get together in mid-February to celebrate your results, you are going to say that this 5 minutes was game-changing for you.
That's awesome. Yeah, I like that. I think that only took like 2 minutes, too.
Right. I mean, you can say more than that. I'm not going
to
use my whole 5 minutes on that, right? Okay.
Yeah, just kidding.
Okay. So that's what I said. I remember sitting in my car outside of a presentation once where I knew I only had 5 minutes. And they said, you know, this is a mandatory staff meeting. Everybody's there. You're one item on the agenda. You've got 6 minutes or whatever it was, same as you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what could I say? I'm like, well, and I just had to get myself in the place of, what if someone told me that I only had one time to tell my kids to stay away from drugs, right? How urgent would I feel about that? It's something I'm passionate about, right? So I just said that, and I feel like they just immediately clicked with that. So that might be outside your comfort zone, but people want to hear something interesting. They want they want to be made to think. I'm so sick of, like, boring, lame presenters who don't give me anything to be, anything edgy, anything to think about. Just be edgy. Go in there and say, listen, your relationships, your life, your body, everything will be better. This is what you need to do. It starts January 7th. I want you to commit today.
Yeah.
And I would still hand out the applications. I mean, you have to still give them the applications that day and say, listen, this is great timing that I got to come in early because that means that you can start budgeting for it now. I need you to turn in your applications by the end of the week. You don't need a payment on it, but I need to know that you're committed. I need your commitment.
Should I offer anything? Like, I considered offering them maybe some, like, weekly email support to get them through the holidays. You know, if you sign up now, you know, you'll have a coach help you with a weekly, you know, find some way to put it.
I have an idea. Know. I would say if you sign up, so give them, they don't sign up literally that day, you hand out the applications, you want them to sign up within a week. I usually give people a week. So
okay.
I would say I'm going to hand them out on the 14th. I'm going to come collect applications after Thanksgiving. Anybody who has signed up by that day, I will send you weekly recipes until we start.
Okay.
So I wouldn't get into a lot of coaching. I wouldn't. What's that?
I thought something to get them engaged and kind of make them feel part of a group in that month leading up to it.
Yeah, and I think just recipes, like literally just a recipe a week for like a new soup to try, a new, you know, whatever, and keep it really simple.
Okay.
I wouldn't offer a lot of coaching. I wouldn't kind of give away the program ahead of time. I would just say, hey, I'm going to offer you a recipe every week for a lunch and a dinner, something like that.
Okay.
Does that help?
Okay. Yeah, no, I'll give that a try and, try and keep in touch with them. Maybe see if I could touch base again if we don't have the sign-up we're hoping for to re-motivate in December or something.
You'll do fine. Short, sweet, intense, and give them a week to collect the applications and make it happen.
Okay.
And you're getting them time to budget and say, you know, I asked to be able to come in early, so to make sure that you've got time to set aside money for this. I know with the holidays coming, you've got extra expenses, but you know now. You know 2 months ahead of time, so just start setting aside the money. I need your application after Thanksgiving. I'm going to start giving you recipes, and I know you're going to do this in January because I know that you need it.
Okay. sounds great. Thanks, Trina.
Awesome. Stay on. We just have a few other people on the line for questions. I think I've got Michelle Grant. Is that 484, Michelle?
Hi, Trina. It's Michelle. How are you?
Great. Thanks so much for being on today. How can I help you?
I have a question where I have a corporation that has several divisions, and they're all, they're tight-knit, but they're all within about probably a half hour of one another. Every January, they have a big, huge kind of Biggest Loser challenge where they compete against one another. And I am fairly good friends with an individual in there that thinks that she can get me in to do the Corporate Fit Challenge as
nice.
Their Biggest Loser challenge.
Nice.
My concern is I'm one person. I don't want to bite off more than I can chew. Do you have, it would actually be three local offices, and they're not mm-hmm. real large. I wouldn't anticipate probably any more than maybe 10 to 20 participants out of each office.
Perfect.
But do I start them all at the same time? And then with
yes.
the group workouts, because they're so far apart from one another, how would you – I want to have all my ducks in a row when I go in to propose to them.
Yeah, super. Okay, really, I love this, Michelle. This is a great, great opportunity for you, and it's simple. So you're going to strip out some of the elements of the CFC, and you're going to keep the ones that you need for the size group. So you're going to start them all at the same time. You're going to offer them different workouts, right? So they're not all necessarily going to be at the same one if they can't travel. Or you offer a couple different ones per week in different locations, and they can help you figure out where that needs to be. In terms of the coaching, you are going to take each workplace and still break each workplace into teams of five, six, seven people per team.
Okay.
That way, you now have in each workplace, if you've got two or three teams per workplace, you've got those wellness leaders or coaches, you know, your assistant coaches. And those are the people you're going to be sending your information through. So
okay.
you could do some all-group coaching with one office. So it's going to be like, hey, Monday after work, stick around. We're doing a big roundtable, or a Friday at lunch. Michelle's coming. We're going to do a roundtable. All they need is a little extra accountability. And if you can just implement the team part of it and give them the food plan and give them some fitness ideas, that's what they need. Michelle, perfect example. My cousin works at a huge accounting firm across the state in a city called Traverse City. And they're doing a Biggest Loser right now. They have no coaching, no help, no food plans, no guidance. They are literally making this up. I mean, they've got some people on soup diets. They've got some people working out like mad people. They've got some people eating normal, and they're going to binge at the end. I mean, it's chaos. It's chaos.
Yeah, that's what I don't
and
want.
And that's what it's going to be if they're on their own.
Okay.
What's that about the finale?
Would you do the finale as a like a big, humongous finale with all of the companies, or would you do them individually as well?
Okay, sorry, you just totally switched gears on me.
I just thought when you said all group coaching at each office.
Yeah.
I was thinking, am I also going to do a group finale at each office?
I don't even know that they care about that right now, and I don't know that you need to worry about that right now. I would say I want to coach you by offices to make sure that you're connected internally, and at the end when we celebrate, does it matter to you? I mean, sure, get them all together at one place or do them independently.
Well, I was thinking more of keeping them connected as an office. That's my concern. If I do the group coaching at each individual office, how would
yep.
you recommend that I keep them connected even though they're in different offices?
Okay, so if they all had access to the group workouts that they could all come to, no matter which office they're in. You could offer a couple in a couple different locations, and they would have to pick
okay,
and choose.
Okay, I'm sorry, I missed that. Okay,
so
perfect.
You
okay.
would offer a couple group workouts, and then, listen, your job is not to keep all the offices connected. Let me clarify. I think your job is to keep people in each office connected to each other and getting results, and they will banter back and forth between the offices. You're not there on the day-to-day communication or in staff meetings or on phone calls with them. Like, you just need to worry about keeping, giving them some guidance and accountability, putting them on teams, and let them run with it.
Okay, good.
Anything that you do for this is going to be better than the example. So what I was wanting to finish out there is that you should use that example of, hey, I know of, you know, the woman I work with on Corporate Fit Challenge is working with a workplace that was doing Biggest Loser on their own. And they, people go at it in 100 directions, most of them wrong when they're not given any guidance. You get people who do soup diets. You get people who just want to sweat out all their calories. I'm going to put some structure and some, you know, some structure and some guidance behind your Biggest Loser.
Excellent. Okay, that makes that eases my mind because I was a little nervous, but I don't think it's going to be as difficult now that you broke it down like that. It's. I was concerned more of keeping them connected, but you're right. I don't have to do that. They'll do that on their own, just like they do internally with a regular challenge. Okay,
exactly.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
So you're just going to have like three little simultaneous challenges going on. And I would appoint a, you know, team captain, which I don't normally do, but if I have different offices, I would appoint a team captain. So then at least you can be encouraging your captains to be communicating with each other. But your job is not to make sure that Sally knows what Joe, you know, down the 30 miles on the road is doing. Who cares?
Okay.
Cool. I really hope keep it simple, right? And just use some of the elements, anything that you give them, journals, food plan, opportunities for workouts, even those three simple things, a couple group coaching sessions. It's kind of more of a watered-down CFC, but that's what they need. They already have a plan for Biggest Loser. They're expecting nothing right now. So any kind of coaching and any kind of structure that you can give to their program will make it better.
I'm actually really excited about it. So hopefully I have a meeting scheduled for mid-December, right before the holidays.
Great.
She wants to get me in at their sales meeting. So I will I'll keep you posted. I'll keep my fingers crossed. And I'm excited about it.
Cool. And that's a great kind of presentation that would be like what doesn't work and what does work. So with that kind of presentation, I wouldn't necessarily do what I just talked to Debbie about being so intense and, you know, life-changing. This is like, listen, you're already doing a Biggest Loser. Let me help you make it better. What doesn't work is letting people go on their own devices and figure stuff out because they'll choose things that they can't maintain. They'll take off all this weight and then they'll put it right back on, and there's nothing that feels worse than that. What I could do for you is give you some structure and some guidance for this, for your Biggest Loser to make it much better. We're going to combine it with a program I do called the Corporate Fit, and that way the people who do lose all this weight are going to keep it off.
Okay, great. Great call, Trina. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad you were on, Michelle. Perfect. There's just two other people on the line. A lot of people hung up after the presentation. They're not for the Q&A. So if you want to hang on, I'd love it. I've got 705. Who do I have there?
It's Patty.
Hi, Patty.
Hi there, Trina. I wasn't sure how you worked the Q&A. Actually, I was just here with a couple of my trainers, and we're just recently getting involved. This is our first call, and we have...
Yay!
So we're.
Did you enjoy the call? Did you get some good information today?
Yes, absolutely. It was fantastic.
Great.
Still in our planning stages and just reading all the material that you've supplied, and it is wonderful so we're just making our way through. One of the questions we have, we were looking to, because the holidays are approaching quickly, whether you think for our first challenge, do you think that it would be wise for us to try to implement something that would carry over through the holidays, or should we be trying to plan for more of a January start?
Well, that's a great question, Patty, and I just saw that a question like that come through the listserv on the Google group, and I answered it this way. Well, first of all, you guys already had Canadian Thanksgiving, right? So we're just dealing with more like December holidays, correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay. You don't get two Thanksgivings. Let me make sure of that. So here's what I normally tell people. I love doing programs right now through the holidays, and here's why. Some of our biggest CFCs have been in November, and the reason is that these are people who, if they had been wanting to do a boot camp or had been wanting to do personal training or anything else, those things generally don't work very well during the holidays, something that requires someone to be somewhere at any given time. right? This program is not that. So I pitch this as, this is your solution to the holidays. You're going to be given a journal and a food plan, and you're going to stick as closely to it as your life allows you at this time, but it's going to be better than what you do on your own. Instead of putting on the 7 pounds that other people put on during the holidays, instead of kicking all of your workouts to the curb as other people do, you're going to do better than you would have otherwise.
Right, absolutely.
I love saying that. I feel comfortable saying that. I feel confident that that's all true. I'm not asking them to not enjoy their, you know, Christmas Eve or Hanukkah or whatever kind of meal they're having. I'm not asking them to not enjoy New Year's Eve. I'm saying you'll do it a little bit differently this year, and you'll make up, you know, in areas that you decide to indulge, you'll make up for it by still keeping up with your workouts and eating cleaner the rest of the time.
Yeah.
So, and then I also tell people, listen, if you can do an accountability program for 6 weeks during a busy time of the year, you will be successful year-round. You are setting yourself up for success.
Right. It's part of life. You're going to always have holidays in times like this to get through, for sure. Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a great time. I think you should pound the pavement now and get out there and get a date started in 2 weeks, 3 weeks at the most. And these are not hard to get off the ground if you can go to some of your current clients and, you know, current fans and say, hey, we've got this great six-week program to carry you guys through the holidays with flying colors. Don't worry. You don't have to be anywhere at any given time. We're going to do a couple coaching appointments. I'm going to give you a journal, food plan. It's going to be, we're going to be like a little person on your shoulder over the holidays making sure that you're doing well.
Okay. Sounds great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Does that help? Does that? And Patty, who else do you have on your team there that I can say hello to?
Trish and Ann.
Hello, Trish. Hello, Ann.
Hi.
It's wonderful.
Thank
you.
Yay. Thanks so much for being there and on the line. I've got a, I don't remember where you guys are in Canada. Where are you?
To St. Marie, Ontario.
Oh, okay. All right. So way on, never mind. I've got a really good friend who's crushing the CFC. She's in Courtney in British Columbia. She runs a small studio there. Her name is Leanne, and she's I met her on the beach in Mexico. How funny is that? And,
oh, goodness.
Yeah, it's amazing where you can meet people. We just looked at each other, and we both could tell we were both in fitness. We're like, hey, you're in fitness, aren't you? Yeah, you do Pilates, don't you? We're like, yeah. And then she got the CFC. So anyway, thanks so much for being on today, you guys. I'm glad that you learned a lot, and there's two other people to listen to. If you want to hang on, it'd be great. We've got 440, who do I have there?
Hi, Karina, it's Tracy Fisher from Ohio.
Hi, Tracy. How are you?
I'm great. I think you kind of answered my question when you were talking to Michelle, because we did land the City of Skolin, and we're starting in January. And my big concern was numbers. And right now I have 3 trainers, and I was considering hiring some other instructors that I know who I like as people, and I know that they're good trainers, as you were defining earlier.
Yeah.
I also was feeling a little trepidation about that. So I think what you were saying is the way that I could tone it down or bump it up is in the actual coaching, whether they do how specific they get on the training versus group coaching.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to verify that.
Yeah, no, group coaching, if you have 3 people who you are, it's you plus 2 right now, you have 3 total?
No, I have 4 including myself, and then a 5th
4,
one, but
okay.
We're all full-time moms, so this is part-time for those guys.
Yeah. So the only, my gut instinct is the only way that I bring in people in another capacity right now, if you do know other group instructors or trainers, bring them in to help with your workouts, your group workouts. And there's nothing wrong with that. Variety is good. That would free up your guys' schedule. Your participants don't need to have their workouts from their coach. Right. So it can be, I mean, the group workouts can be led by anybody. I don't
lead all
of our group workouts here, right?
Sure.
So I would just tone down the coaching a little bit, make it more group coaching, still try to get personal information and maybe do more personal emailing. But, you know, group coach for sure. Use the people that you already have and that you like, and maybe invite some other trainers you know in the area to lead the optional group workouts for you. Because variety is fun, and their schedule might be more flexible, and they don't need to be coaching with you. They can just be leading the workouts.
I love it. Perfect. And, you know, that also segues into, I'm ex-military. I was connecting with the USO, the local USO, and their new thing is not so much sending food over to the soldiers anymore, but doing things for the people, for their wives or their husbands that are here.
Nice.
And so, of course, I found myself offering up, you know, the equivalent of a corporate fitness challenge for free. But that's, and I was thinking, oh, my God, how am I going to do that? And I think group coaching is it. I mean, that's, it's not going to be that difficult to do that even by myself as a volunteer thing.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So thank you.
That, what a great update. So are you so proud that you got the city committed and signed up?
I am. I'm just waiting. Yeah, I'm very excited. So, yeah. So we'll see. I'll let you know how it goes.
Good. I know that's been a work in progress, and I'm really proud of you for seeing it through. And I'm definitely here to help you when you're ready to launch it. I know we'll have a lot of people launching in January, which is exciting. So,
Thank you.
I think I've got one more person. 805 484 705 440 847. I don't know if you're still on. 201 714 212 218. I think these are all recently disconnected. 989. Oh, Joe must have been on. Okay, cool. So anyway, I'm so glad that everybody was on today and that many of you stayed for questions at the end. Great. If you've got questions until the next call, make sure that you email. I don't know how else to express this, but I get tons of personal emails from CFC coaches. I got a great one from Libby Burkhalter telling us how amazing her CFCs are going, and another one from Leanne in Canada about how amazing her last CFC went. And I love those, but I'd love it if we shared them with the whole Google group, so you guys can see other people who are successful with this business, and that you can be the same. So thanks for being on today, perfectly on time, 12 Eastern, 1 hour on the dot. You guys are amazing. Have a wonderful, wonderful Friday.